So what can, one thing is we try to examine ourselves. It's always good to have kind of a question you can ask yourselves throughout this, specifically throughout this holiday season. And what can we, or what can we say, what do we think about our own spiritual maturity? You know, many of us have been at this part of the church for years and years, some of us for our entire lives. But is that an indicator for how spiritually mature we actually are? I'd say not necessarily. You know, Christ told a parable of a fig tree that wasn't producing fruit in the time that it should have been, that the time that it was expected to have been producing fruit, and stated that that fruit or that fig tree should be cut down as a result of not having fruit on its limbs. Now, the keeper of that vineyard in this parable asked for extra time to fertilize, to help that grow in hopes that it would produce that next season, and if not, to tear it down. So it just isn't a matter of time, it's a matter of the kind of fruit that we are producing that can determine our spiritual maturity. And if we haven't been showing the proper fruit in the years that we've been growing in this vineyard, growing in this body of Christ, then we are being unprofitable. And I think there's a better marker for understanding how spiritually mature each of us ought to be. It can be found, start with, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. I'm going to be reading, at least in Corinthians, out of the Common English Bible. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, reason like a child, think like a child. But now that I have become a man, I've put an end to childish things. You know, we will be incapable of producing spiritual fruit if we never grow, if we never go past those basic things and get into the deeper things. So what was Paul leading up to when he made that statement? Going back to verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. If I speak in tongues of human beings and of angels, but I don't have love, I'm a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I know all the mysteries of everything else, and if I have such complete faith that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give away everything that I have and hand over to my body to feel good about what I've done, but I don't have love, I receive no benefit whatsoever. Love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't jealous. It doesn't brag. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't seek its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of complaints. It isn't happy with injustice, but it is happy with the truth. And it kind of talks a lot about this world today, why there is not true godly love. Love puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hopes for all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. As for prophecies, they will be brought to an end. As for tongues, they will stop. As for knowledge, it will be brought to an end. We know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, what is partial will be brought to an end. And you know, the latter things mentioned aren't referring to the world, but they're referring to the church. Prophecies, tongues, knowledge, godly knowledge. Of all the things that lead up and point to Christ, those will be at an end. And what we will be left with is love. Prophecies will have no meaning once they are all fulfilled, as Paul was speaking about in Corinthians. And that understanding, that ability for us to grasp that knowledge, doesn't manifest in us just because we are baptized. We have to be baptized for it, but it doesn't just show up. Only in one man was the Spirit given fully. You know, that kind of understanding requires growth. It requires spiritual maturity to fulfill how Paul, as we read, defines love. And it doesn't just happen by stating it, like the world would have you believe of all Christianity, of just speaking the name of Jesus Christ and saying, spouting out words that he might have said and forgetting those important things. Well, Peter also talked about this as well. 2 Peter in verse 1. Second Peter chapter 1, and beginning verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound in you, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Building upon all of those things is what will help us produce that kind of spiritual fruit that is necessary for our entrance into the kingdom. And it's building up that foundation through baptism, through understanding and having our minds open to Christ that will, in fact, build upon that foundation, that will build those fruits. But we can't ever stop and hope that what we have today is enough for what we need tomorrow. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elemental principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works or of faith towards God. Because if we aren't heading towards perfection, if we aren't growing towards perfection, there's only one other direction we can be heading, and that is towards destruction. To have our tree, whatever we have built up, cut down because we haven't shown true fruits of spiritual maturity. Hebrews 5, we also read of this, about not going back once we have pressed forward. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use, and that's the key, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. If we aren't using these of the Spirit that has been given to us, if we aren't growing it, we are not going to be able to discern between good and evil. And today, in this age when Satan's era is ending, discerning between good and evil is very, very important. You know, that evil will overtake us if we aren't practicing love. Love, as Christ demonstrated, is the key for us entering to the kingdom. And love isn't what the world would have you think it is. Love, as I've talked about in previous messages, love of God's law is one of the key elements of demonstrating love towards God and demonstrating love towards our neighbor. Going back to Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, kind of concluding what he had started talking about that spiritual maturity. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12, Now, today, as I would, you could say, we see a reflection in a mirror. Then, speaking about our future, we will see face to face. Now, I know partially, but then I will know completely in the same way that I have been completely known. Now, faith, hope, and love remain, these three things, and the greatest of these is love. You know, as the age of Satan draws to a close, we're going to see love disappear from this world. So, brethren, let's make sure that our lights don't dim in this upcoming darkness.